right, welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming, plays Delta Green Impossible Landscapes. My name is Joe. I will be your handler for this operation. I am joined by my good friends. I'm joined by my most recently freed friend, my most recently liberated friend, Jean. Say hi, Jean.
It's a me, Jean.
Interesting energy.
All right. Yeah. All right, I like it. I'm, of course, joined by Dace, playing Benji.
It's a me.
And I'm joined by Brad Flan Hank.
Not doing that voice.
No!
Come on.
You've got pizza as an icon.
Oh, it's God. Called Yes and, not yes. No fuck you.
Oh, God. I had a question for you guys. I had a question for you guys here at the top. So I recently made a grave error in my life, which will affect, I'm sure, my trajectory, my relationships, and everything. I've started playing RimWorld again, which is an incredible in-depth game that if you've never heard of it, definitely look it up. It's on Steam. Awesome, awesome game. Love it. But my God, does it suck away the hours in a very pleasing way, but also a very concerning way.
Yeah. It's only because you have to have a 4-year college degree
in
order to play it in RimWorld, yeah. To learn how to play it.
Yeah. We still
you have to have a bachelor's in RimWorld.
We need to get on some time and do like a stream that's just us teaching Dace how to play RimWorld.
I forgot we talked about that, and I'm super down for it. Patreon subscribers, if you want to hear me cuss and break down.
I don't know how to play either, so teach us both, and then we'll fight each other.
Well, it's not a multiplayer. Well, there's a multiplayer mod, but Dace is on... Well, you guys are both on Mac, so it would probably work anyway. But anyway, so
Sorry, it'll be like a competitive Japanese game show where one person really is good at learning and the other person is maybe questionably IQ.
What, John? Say it.
Just calling him out. Well, so I started playing RimWorld again, and before I had my...
Is that how Japanese game shows are?
I could imagine it.
When I was playing my last colony before the last update, was I basically got to the end game with my colony of genetically superior meth vampires, that were, you know, kitted out and all the best stuff, and basically the, you know, I had enough trash pawns that I would perpetually have to send out as fodder while the meth vampires stood back and killed everything from afar. With their psychic telekinetic powers. But that game is gone. And I started a new one. And I wanted to kind of RP. Because if you just go into RimWorld and you're like, okay, I'm going to grow lots of drugs and I'm going to harvest organs and sell them.
Yeah, you can do like a resource management game. Totally.
Yeah, you can't lose. Like, you can't lose. You can basically But I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do that. This colony is going to be made up of... They're going to be a weird... order of the Knights Templar kind of thing, but a futuristic order of knights who are trying to do good. So I'm RPing
That's
in that, awesome. which is going to limit the base shit that I do in the game, right?
That's probably healthy, Joe. You should maybe apply that to the rest of your life.
Yeah,
limit the deranged shit that you do.
But off the back of that, my question to you guys is, what's your favorite game to really RP, that you RP into it in a way that maybe isn't a part of it, but something that you kind of do to yourself or the way you play to kind of switch things up? This is something, again, it's gonna change the way I play that game, and I really enjoy it. What's one that you guys have done? And you cannot talk about Painless the Dead from Skyrim. That is
exactly where my mind was going.
Painless the Dead was at one trick, and it was two axes.
He was a one-trick pony, but goddamn did he love running.
God, did he run. Running, running, killing.
That's my answer. I'll try to think of a different one.
Yeah.
You know that he's... He and you are truly a one-trick pony, Dave.
Dace also fixes all of his problems with two axes.
Well, storied history of a trail of blood throughout my life.
Yeah. What about you, Jean? You got something?
I was going to say I'm actually incapable of this kind of mix-up. I tried playing Red Dead Redemption and like Fallout as the bad guy to just mix it up. I get too sad. I get despondent. I do. I can't. I'm like, even though this is all make-believe, everybody's life is fucked, and I just feel so bad.
Well, do you guys remember when we started playing, and Benedict was being a real asshole, and there was like, Jean was like, physically, you could tell he was stressed.
It's very hard. Like, it's very difficult for me.
Such a nice guy.
It doesn't take long to play Pokemon, but last time I played Pokemon Shield, I had a lot of fun just saying my team's gonna be made up of like the stupidest Pokemon. So like my best one was like this
like
normal
magic
Pokemon
across the world.
Well, no, it was a normal one that should be basically like a pink cow, and he was like just destroying everybody's shit.
You're just like it wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna get a Charizard. It was like, I'm gonna get the dopey, weird, stupid thing.
Yeah,
like Mr. Mime.
Exactly.
You had to have a Mr. Mime
look up,
in there.
Look up Miltank.
Oh, yeah. I know Miltank. Yeah.
Just a cow. An upright cow stupid. With udders poking out.
When did Pokemon get so lazy? You know it.
Jeez. How many years now? It's like 25, 30 years?
Jesus.
I'm already lazy after 25, 30 years. Let me just say.
Well, you know, like, I mean, Jean, you're right there with us. It's like, you know, we were like the target demographic when Pokemon came out, you know? Yeah.
Played the shit out of it.
Yeah. Like, I remember having...
I mean...
Pokemon.
yeah, really hard.
It got... I mean, I was just, like, looking up shit. I played it, and it was, like,
it's
kind
disgusting.
Of intense. Like, the third generation, like, they would have, like, certain days you can only catch certain Pokemon, so it would be, like, reinforcing people to play,
it did
like,
get
every
more.
Day.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, on this day, like, even on the Game Boy, it would keep track of your clock, and it's like, you can't catch this one except for on this day at this spot.
It's just loot boxes, like man.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember... You got one?
So, go ahead.
No, yeah,
I thought of one. Okay, never mind.
Good.
No,
good
go, please.
Talk,
sorry.
Guys, good fucking talk.
God, I love talking on the internet. It's so easy and fluid.
Another. This is kind of in the same thing.
You son of a bitch.
But sorry. It is also like fun once you make up, like in something like Dragon Age or something like that. You've like, you've made your character decide, like, oh, I don't like this guy. And you just give like this one guy a hard turn time in every interaction. That's really a lot of fun for me too.
Yeah.
Instead of like oftenly, you know, falling everyone's.
Like I know, like in all the Fallout games, there's always, and this goes back to the original Fallout games. There was, if you made a low intelligence character, I think with 4 below intelligence, there were like loads of unique, speech things that you could do. And like you can go through the whole game with a character who's like completely dumb as a bag of rocks and still like defeat the master or like get the water chip and like, you know, and shit like that in the old ones. But like, and even the newer Fallouts, like you can do low IQ, low intelligence playthrough, and it's really silly. What'd you have, Dace?
This is less of like, well, it is role playing. Like, Painless the Dead, the first Skyrim character I ever had. Did a full playthrough with him, beat the game and all that. And my companion was Lydia, and I got like really weirdly attached to Lydia.
Lots of people did. And,
yeah. Wonder why.
I do wonder
but then,
why. She's like
but then like 5 years later, I got all the expansions, or specifically the one where you can turn into a vampire.
Yeah.
And I chose to become a vampire, and there's one dungeon. I forget what exactly happened, but one of my vampiric powers like killed Lydia. Like there's a big group of people.
Yeah.
great power.
Because you can kill your you can kill your companions. They can't normally die, but you can kill them.
Yeah, and it was like I could have gone back and like reloaded and gotten her back, but I was like, man, this is too good story wise. Like I'm being corrupted. I'm turned into a vampire.
Oh,
and
okay.
Her power like killed her. That's like just good story writing. It's devastating. Right. And then I took on the vampire chick as my new companion.
Yeah, I was about to say, you like get an even better chick. So
you get a better Lydia.
Yeah.
It's a real downward spiral.
Yeah.
Thought that was pretty cool.
I don't know, like, you know, some games are definitely built more to have that experience for you to find your own kind of special RP thing. But yeah, like finding even something like that in Skyrim, you know? I mean, it's an RPG, for Christ's sakes, you know?
For God's sakes.
I think I also...
For God's sakes.
I also got turned off by a lot of it, because it's really hard to make games that let you make any choice, like literally any choice.
Like a real
choice.
Breaking
something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, I don't know if you guys have played Prey, by the same guys that made Dishonored and a bunch of other very...
I feel like I've seen stuff of it.
It is exceptional. It's one of the best games. But you can literally choose to do anything, and they've supported it. Like, they spent years trying to think of everything and trying to break the game, and they made it so you can choose to do any kind of thing, and it's fucking awesome.
That I didn't know it was that in-depth. I thought it was kind of like a straightforward...
Have any of you guys
Dishonored
played...
as well?
Dishonored, fantastic. Oh, so good.
Yeah, same attitude, same approach to world-building. Yeah.
Have you guys played Baldur's Gate?
That's what I was about to bring up. I think they're supposed to be... That game's supposed to be really good at that, too, but I haven't played it.
I haven't played it.
Like, is Prey playable on Xbox One?
I think so.
I'm going to have to check that out. I'm so far behind the times.
Supposedly, there's so many crazy stuff you can do in Baldur's Gate, the new one.
Yeah.
I think someone, saw someone... No, because they tried to make it just like 5e, just like had a shit ton of like oil barrels or something, and just like put it all over this like town, and just lit all the oil barrels and killed everyone in this like area.
Yeah, that's very D&D.
Yeah,
that's intense. My kind of shenanigans.
Yeah,
it's like Joker storyline in D&D.
Yeah, well, you're
right.
Well, speaking of unpredictable explosions, let's talk about. What happened last time?
You've got some news, do you not? Do you want to say that for the end?
Yeah.
You are right. You are right. Sorry, transition.
Awkward.
Better luck next time. No, Dace is right. I wanted to let you guys know. I'm going to let you... I was talking to Dace about this last night. I'll let Jean and Brad know, and our listeners. I have officially begun to write my operation.
Brother.
Hey. Yes, it is. Nice. Currently in the stages of kind of like getting everything together. My good friend and listener to the pod, Steve, is kind
Steve.
Of co-writing it with me.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah. We are we're writing
Steve.
It. We have our own murder board. With what we're writing, and like we're like storyboarding it and getting our timeline right, and like, okay, well, how does this person, and man, and like, and shout out to Steve, because he's like but what is this person's motivation to do that way, and it's like, okay, let's talk about that, like,
beautiful.
Let's talk about it, because he has a very narrative kind of mind to him.
He plays,
that makes me so happy,
role playing games.
Yeah, yeah. I think he's running like a D&D game for some folks. And he actually wrote his own kind of like text-based RPG, programmed it and everything. It's like a web-based RPG thing that's extremely in-depth.
That's awesome.
Is that playable to the public?
I don't know if he has an open thing. I'll ask him.
Steve, send us your game.
Steve, send it to us.
Please.
It's so in-depth.
No,
it's
excited.
So,
that's fucking
it's crazy
awesome.
Good. Yeah,
have
I'm,
you got
really
a name for this?
Yes, it's currently called Delta Green Work in Progress, is currently what it is entitled.
You gotta have some kind of name.
Come on.
Because you haven't, you surely have an overarching, you have the big picture idea, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. Okay, I had a working title that might change.
Delta Green and the Mystery of the Constipated Hotel.
Straight to poop every time.
And so, do poo poo.
I want to put poop right in the title. I think I might. I think it's so like you know different Delta Green operations or Delta Green modules. You know they have different names. Like you know there's Music from a Dark Room and Reverberations and yeah, Night at the Opera and stuff like that. You know there's different. I have a working title that I've had in my head. I think I'm gonna call. I think it's gonna be American Dream.
Okay, I dig
very
it.
Cool.
All right, yeah. That's, can I ask you a favor? Might change. What?
Can you?
We're not changing it to South African Dream.
No, that's fine. It doesn't exist.
Oh,
yikes!
No, I wanted to ask. Can you keep track of like your process of writing it, and I don't know the meta about it instead of just the story and what we end up seeing? I'd love like the behind the scenes of what it takes. That
a documentary.
That would be so.
A to record
or
it?
A mockumentary
or
whatever.
A mockumentary. that'd be preferable. I don't know. Like we're definitely going to keep our storyboards and like our original stuff. Like it's not going anywhere.
Okay.
Just we're doing it on Miro, so it's like it's there. It's not gonna go.
Good choice.
So.
Good choice. Where'd you find Miro?
Yeah, my good friend John told me about Miro, which is great.
That is so good to hear.
But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that. You know, we are going to be moving here in the next little while, so like that might get sidelined, but it's something I really want to get done before the end of the summer.
Sweet.
You know, well I think that, you know, maybe it might be something we do after Impossible Landscapes. I don't know how long Impossible Landscapes
is
going to go. Is
Steve going to run it?
I was thinking that maybe me and Steve could like co-handle it.
Yeah,
that'd be
totally.
So cool.
Jared Logan does that with Clinton Trucks. He's like, Clinton is the behind the screen or behind the whatever DM.
Yeah.
Just like constantly checking rules and like making sure nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We might do it.
That's awesome.
But yeah. Yeah. So look forward to that.
Very keen.
Stoked.
Yeah. But anyway, I made a really good. Speaking of things that have recently been stoked, let's talk about. Let's talk about where we were last time. I was talking about the explosions again.
We may need to add a timestamp on the description just to, if we need a fast forward on all this.
All this excessive banter.
Yeah.
All right. Last time, Delta Green. You guys are in the Hotel Broad album. You started out, you were downstairs, you met Mark and what's her name? Louisa Reggie. You know, different people. You're trying to decide what you're going to do. You're like, well, and I think you guys basically decided we need to go talk to Mark. Mark, we think Mark might know something. We also supposedly need to go deal with this room that eats people. We should do that too. We got the master key and everything. And then you guys, you know, decided like we want to go back upstairs. We want to get some rest. Supposedly we have a doctor coming for us. And remind me when I get done with the recap. Remind me about the doctor thing. There's something I forgot to do. You guys go upstairs. You see Charlie, and not only do you see Charlie, you meet someone, Private Rovan Lobolas. Apparently a soldier from, as far as you can tell, from World War II. American soldier. You convince him to come with you, to accompany you, telling him that you're going to help him get back to his unit, get back to where he came from. He tells you that he was in France, Reims, France, and that he was in a building, and that there was an intruder, and he was either chasing after it or running away from it or whatever it was, and then he ended up here. He thinks he might be dead. He thinks this place is hell. Might be kind of right. Who can say? But now he's with you. You guys head up to your room with a lakeside view, and you see in the distance very much a dark, ominous lake. The explosions of artillery and bombardment in the distance, in the dark, rainy distance, constantly rattling the windows and the walls. And as you guys try to get some rest, bed down, Hank nods off and is, you good?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Excuse me. How dare you interrupt the recap with your bodily functions? It's just getting spicy.
And start then, over. Hank, sorry, let me go back. Hank nods off and comes face to face with a burned, disfigured man in this now empty room that does something to him. And he wakes, realizing it all to be but a dream. Just a dream. Hank, how many hit points are you down?
4.
You're just down 4 hit points?
Oh, I have 4 hit points.
Now, how many are you down?
I normally have 15, so.
You normally have 15. So what, 15 minus 4 is... what is that?
11.
Sorry, math. I was mistaken last time. I told you this thing. That you were not have any healing. So what would this be? This would be... Okay, I'm gonna round down. Go ahead and take 2 hit points back.
Not great, but better than nothing.
Better than nothing?
I just wanted to get to 5 before we start adventuring. Yeah.
You realize, wait. Hank, as you kind of come to and you... Maybe this wound on your chest maybe isn't healed all the way, but maybe there's like another wound on you somewhere that like you're like, well, wait a second, that one feels a little better. Something has happened to you. And I don't know if you want to meatball this situation or tell everyone what just happened. That'll be up to old Hank.
Getting hair in funny places.
Jesus.
Like on the wound, just on sprouting hair.
Barf.
Gross.
Oh, okay, we're going now.
You're playing now.
Okay.
We're in the game.
Well, so, okay. I was screaming and woke Benedict up. Told him maybe he shouldn't fall asleep. He's like, Benedict, I was... Nowadays, we can't tell what's real or not. And then he feels like he's got wounds all over him. And he feels one. He's like, he raises it up, and I guess it's semi-healed. He, like, looks at Benedict. He's visited in my dream by some kind of... He said he was the doctor that Charlie gave us, but... Kind of... Undead... Zombie fella.
Was that like the man that attacked us at the theater?
I don't think so. It was. Thought I was being visited by the Grim Reaper or something.
Oh. You ask his name by any chance?
Wasn't time to. I mean, I wasn't even in this room.
Hank, I'm glad you're feeling better.
So now you can be the frontliner again. Excellent. Excellent news.
To go in first. But you know how we woke up from that last episode and we weren't actually committed to a hospital? I cannot say with certainty that we are not in a different liminal state here. Because I felt something weird at the in the corridors, and I felt somebody trying to talk to me, and then all of a sudden everything snapped together. I don't know. It's just something to just let it roll around your old noggin.
Are you trying to say something funny is going on?
Something weird.
Ain't not a one of us had to shit. I think we're dead.
We got forgot we ended there.
Or, Hank, you just ate that big old steak. How have you not had to poop?
Such a thing.
You guys have been together a long time. I feel like the least you can do is talk about your poops.
I will not okay. talk about my BM
with you. Not now, not ever.
It's very.
There's some things a man can keep to himself.
At some point, at some point in time, Lobolas does kind of come out of the bathroom. You know, he has his rifle slung over his shoulder. He's like, so we gonna try to get out of here or what?
Yep. In a manner of speaking, there's something we gotta do for Elmer. And once we do that,
Elmer?
I think he's gonna show us the way out. Yeah, the concierge. Surely you met Elmer. Weird fella.
No.
Okay, you didn't come in through the lobby?
No.
When you arrived here?
No, I came through several doors.
Does that work? Several doors?
Look, man, I'm just doing the best I can.
Well,
we
think. He wink, wink, nod, nods to Benedict and Benji's. Have you heard of this thing called the Labyrinth? You've been here a little bit longer than us. I think that might be the way out.
I haven't really talked to many people around here. I haven't seen. I mean, this place is like a labyrinth, that's for damn sure.
What have you been doing while you've been here?
Just want to go.
Just wandering? Where's your training? Did you, like,
searching for
camp?
A way out.
Have you eaten? Have you pooped?
He kind of, you know, he thinks, he cocks his head, he's like, I don't remember the... Last, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out Benedict would recognize to be part of a sea ration, part of a military ration, old school military ration. He's like, "No, I've still got my rations. I thought I had."
For God's sakes, man!
Been here longer.
You should eat.
It seems to trouble him
right now.
Okay. Yeah, I will. And he opens a package and there's like some hard bread. And there he kind of
what else is in your
tear
pocket?
It apart with his teeth. He's like, "We should." roll me a luck roll. This is 62. A great time for luck. That's unlucky. Oh,
shit. A live grenade.
He's like, I just got my rifle. I got a picture of my girl. Some letters from back home. They seem to be all personal effects. He probably has okay. 3 or 4 clips right. of
Private,
ammunition.
Hold it together. You eat that little ration bar. You stick with us. We'll be okay. Benji?
Yeah.
We got to visit a room. I might get a little hairy, Private.
All right. And he, you say that, and he kind of readies. He kind of double checks his rifle, to make sure it's kind of loaded and stuff like that. He's like, okay.
Yes.
That is what, Germans?
And miscellaneous.
All right.
I want to. Roll an occult check. When Hank tells Benji about his encounter with the doctor, Benji's mind immediately goes to demons.
Ooh.
Can I roll an occult check to see if I can have ever encountered
it's so
any...
high.
Remind
it's
us real
just,
quick
don't
about
even need to
Benji's
roll
occult.
It's I have a 6% chance of failure.
Or like a fumble. All right,
roll it. See if you get something
that's
extra spicy.
We forget about that. Isn't it 10% chance?
Yeah, you're a fumble or a crit
every single roll.
I think if he got a 100 or a 99.
Can we update our stats?
Yes. Sorry, you can roll your failures. Pardon me.
Success, 82, under 94.
Okay. You know, so technically the way it works in Delta Green, a higher success roll is technically a better roll. Like, that means, because, like, imagine Benji, who has an 86, or sorry, who has a 94 in a cult. Mm-hmm. He's, like, one of the smartest people when it comes to occult shit in the world. So, like, he could do shit that other people couldn't do. It does not take you long. It does not take you long to think about a particular demon that this kind of sounds like. The name is Buer. Buer? B-U-E-R is the name.
Buer?
Buer?
Okay, we'll edit this in post-production.
You know we want.
Yeah. Yeah, so do you have Demon Web 101 pulled up?
Not yet.
Yeah, but if you pull that up, you can take a look at what it says. This would be an interesting thing for Benji to just, you know, so I imagine Hank is telling you about this and it's telling you what happened. And Benji, here's the thing, it's not just your occult. It's not just your skill of the occult. You actually feel something bubbling up within you. You feel something, like there's you have that innate sense that Benji seems to have about demons now combined. You think
my demon sense is going wild?
Yeah.
Buer is described as a great president of hell, having 50 legions of demons under his command. He appeareth when the sun is in Sagittarius. Buer teaches natural and moral philosophy, logic, and the virtues of all herbs and plants. He mendeth all infirmities, especially of men, and gives good familiars. He is depicted in the shape of Sagittarius, or as a lion face wreathed in a pentagram of goat legs. That looks familiar. Why does that look familiar?
I think that's a D&D monster.
Okay.
Picture.
Oh, I don't know.
But I've seen that picture before.
Yeah.
Wait, damn, maybe dog, we did. You should have asked for a familiar.
Roven.
You fucked up, man.
I can tell you.
Yeah, you got Private Lavalas.
Well, I don't know about the lion face and the goat legs. It was kind of more like some kind of
a burnt motherfucker.
Missing parts of his face and whatnot.
Well,
but he did
more weird shit.
Healed me up somewhat. Who can tell? Maybe it's just rest.
You give him anything in return, shall make some kind of bargain?
Hell no.
Did you just...
That's probably for the best.
That doesn't sound like...
You just,
like that doesn't sound like...
Sat there and let him rub your belly. Fuck it.
Kind of.
A little bit more intense than that.
All right, what's the plan? What's next?
Okay.
All right.
No.
Let's try this room.
This
is the only way.
No, we have to find out more. Hank.
That's the only way.
Hank, look at me. There's enough running into rooms. There's enough saving people, and there's enough running headfirst into rooms. Let's go for tea with Charlie.
What are you suggesting, Benedict?
No.
Naturally?
I feel pretty lukewarm about that
one. No. Never mind tea. I'm making it frank. You guys have become very difficult, tough crowd. We need to find out more about this room. We just need to find out more.
Door.
but how though?
Like every Delta Green scenario, but like how? Can I?
What are you guys doing?
That should be the name of your campaign, Joe. Delta Green. But like
it's,
how?
It's
though?
Like a riff of Wait But Why, except but like how? Can I write?
If I'm gonna be frank, the one person that's given us the most information is Charlie. So we could talk to him about this room that eats people on the way to the room, and he's probably gonna give us more information about it than Elma, Mark, old lady.
All right, I'm happy with that.
They're not gonna know shit.
So we head out to the elevator.
So.
Okay. You get to the elevator. You ring the bell. This time, the elevator descends from above you. It stops about a foot below where it should. So you have to kind of step down into the elevator. Charlie has both hands on the lever, seems to be kind of messing with it, like he's trying to fix it.
Sir, got a problem with your elevator there, Charlie?
It always does that. It's where to?
Tell him the room.
Room.
But we had a question first.
8:30,
Charlie.
Where we're going?
What? Why is that room a problem?
I love answering questions over tea.
Don't you have work to do, Charlie?
Christ!
Listen,
go have a tea party.
We're in a bit of a pickle, Charlie. I promise you, we're gonna have some tea with you, but it would really help us out. Tell us any information you have on this particular room, and I'm gonna do a persuade.
Pretty please.
Roll that skill. Tell me what you get.
Fucking Christ almighty.
That's a failure. At least not a fumble.
That sounded
great.
Wait
for the expletives on the fumble.
That's a regular failure?
Well, you know, it's 8:30 is... Haven't had anyone in that room for a while.
Who's the last person?
Wonder
that went?
Why. Maybe it hasn't been cleaned. What?
Do the mechanisms on it in his elevator look particularly Carcosian in design?
Not particularly. Look pretty mundane.
I was gonna try to roll a Carcosian clockwork to fix his elevator, make it more receptive. But nope.
I guess we'll just go into this room, Charlie. Hope.
Yeah.
Make it out to have tea with you.
What?
Thing would happen to us, we might not be able to have tea with you.
Oh, well, you failed your persuade roll already, so we're just gonna go ahead and get you over there.
Charlie, I asked who was the last person to stay in that room. You must have taken them there.
I don't recall now. Had a few. Few over the years.
I can tell you had a few. You can't even
easy,
operate this
easy
goddamn
Ben.
Room.
Easy.
You're fucked up again, Charlie. You got a problem.
Takes his like little flask out.
His hands shaking.
Hands.
This will make it all better.
Private Lapolis just standing there, kind of just looking at you guys, looking at Charlie. He takes you down. He takes you down further than you think you should probably go. But by the time that your elevator comes to a stop, it is a fairly normal looking hallway with rooms. He'll say that 8:30's right around the corner.
Okay.
So Benedict is very hesitant. I don't know how we roleplay this or what we need to do, but I would say Benedict at some point getting out of the elevator is like, man, I have to level with you. I think we're gonna die in this room. We don't know enough. I don't want to go in there.
Hmm.
We have see any other way this around infinite, it. Crazy hotel. And the first thing we're going into is the thing that literally kills people. I think you...
Well...
That piece of shit told us, Benji. He said it literally eats people.
Eating people. But he doesn't look like the smartest tool in the shed to me, Benedict. I mean, perhaps it just moves us around like everything else, teleports us to some other place in time and space.
You're a God-fearing man, Benedict.
Too much to believe in that stuff.
That's fair. But there's that story in the Bible about Jonah and that there whale. He got gobbled up and he turned out all right.
This is just like that.
I think Benedict is going to have to be just the same. To come with. Like, he does not want to go. I'm not being difficult as a player. I'm just trying to roleplay it. Like, he is not going to want to go in there. Yeah, doing some adversarial shit.
PvP persuade checks?
PvP persuade?
I can... I'm on the fence too, Benedict. I mean, I can tell you I don't really trust Elma.
So Private Lobolas, he's like, so I mean, like, what do you have to do to this?
What did Elmer say we had to do?
What's the objective here? Like,
we are.
I thought you guys were leaving this place.
Oh, we planned to. The asshole at the front desk convinced these two assholes that we need to fix this room, which may have a lot of Germans in it, Private. That's a bad room. Am I right?
That's a bad room. room's bad.
We simply cannot use the broad umbrella of Germans for everything that's bad.
It's just so bad. It's contextual.
That just feels wrong.
But the... That's... Yeah.
Nazis.
There, we use Nazis. There's just Nazis in there.
Okay. We can roll with that.
What did Elmer say, in all seriousness, for us to do with the room?
He asked you to fix it.
Because it was killing people.
Well, we just gotta go in there, we'll open the door, we just look around, you know, fully kitted up, guns out, on alert mode. We ain't just anybody, Benedict. What gear do we have?
I'm with you, Benji, ourselves. But what gear do we have? Like, can we strategically deal with this room without going in? Can we pop some flashbangs? Private.
We could do that. That was what I was about to say. We could just unload, open the door and unload.
Because that'll fix it.
I like that scene in Predator.
Yeah.
Just like that scene in Predator. Oh, man.
Well, look at it this way, Benedict. We got an arsenal here, and I'm basically a walking arsenal of rituals. I've done some reading about cleansing rituals over the years. I got a pretty good handle on that. You know, consider me an exorcist of sorts.
No, what do you don't think Benedict convinced? Would be convinced as much as he trusts Benji. I think that something's going to have to happen to break this tie.
Okay. Let's take a step out real quick. Let's take a step out real quick, and let's talk about the fact that we are playing an RPG. If there is a significant... If there is a failure to go forth in one way, there are probably other ways as well. So, you know, like, you guys don't have to be sold to this necessarily. You know?
All right, if we don't do this, then frankly... Our only other option
we
is
have
just
a skeleton
this
key for God's
hotel.
Sake.
More so. Alright. let's just explore this floor. Or, you know, walk around and see what's going on.
What do you think, Benedict? How do you want to use this skeleton key?
I would literally want to go anywhere else but in this room to see if we can prepare ourselves a bit better for this imminent death that awaits us.
All right, well, let's put our heads together and see if we can form some sort of plan. What do you think would better our odds against this unnamed abomination?
Naming.
What's that movie about that haunted hotel room? You know, it came out in like the mid-2000s. 413, I think. Maybe we could sit down and watch that, get some pointers.
The cabin or whatever.
Just
cabin
find the movie.
I don't know. I feel like if we could at least name the evil that's in this room, that would make me feel a little better. Because you know I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to want to smash things, maybe. And that's not good for anyone, specifically me.
Hey, Rovan?
Yeah. Yeah.
Earmuffs.
Oh, man. He steps around. He pulls a cigarette out of his, belt pouch and sticks an old school cigarette in his mouth and lights it up and walks around the corner.
So, this is going to sound pretty fucked up. What if we sent Rovan into the room?
Yep.
Sort of a guinea pig situation.
God, would Benji even suggest that, though? Is that
too mean, Hank would absolutely do that. Hank wouldn't do that. That was his thinking. Yeah. I was not fucking around like metagaming. That is Benedict, I'm sure of it. Yeah.
Like a weird canary.
So Benedict's if he comes okay with going in the room if he goes first?
Or if he goes in and we keep the door open and it gives us some information, but...
Oh, man. This is too good. This is a turn. If we agree to do this, this is a moral turning point.
Values.
Like, downward spiral type shit. If we were playing vampires... There's a mechanic where you take a stain on your humanity.
Yeah.
And you become more vampiric. This is the equivalent of that. But I'm totally for it. Out of character.
All right. I'll agree to this, but I'm going to have to explain, if we haven't already explained to the fella, tell him he already knows what's going on, right?
Germans?
Sorry, I'd be for this, and I'm going to cover his ass, but, I mean, he might be the... We're sending him in there. He's the most fit, honestly, to take point guard. He's younger. He's got, you know, thumb
experience. Probably got full hit points.
Yeah. But let's make sure he's okay with this. And if he's okay with this, we'll go through with it.
All right. You want to take the lead on this one, Hank?
Private word. You would come back from your cigarette break.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen, we've all been through the ringer, and, I'm not just doing this to save our asses. I think you're the best qualified, and, Benedict's a little hesitant about this room. We don't know what's going to be on the other side. I know we said... Nazis, and it very well could be Nazis given our luck, but
at this point,
but we don't know what is on the other side, and we like you and all. We were wondering if you would take point on this operation, this mission.
I guess I'm a radio operator, I'm not like a frontline guy. I know, like, he kind of references, like, the stock of his rifle with the hash marks. He's like, I mean, I'm just doing what I have to do here. You know, like, I'm not...
We are all not, I'm not doing like a that. Badass. Look at how I'm dressed, Private. Do you think I was ready for this war?
Yeah, I guess not. Roll me a persuade, whoever's gonna do that.
Look, man, you want to be on Team Woman Fighter? You got to prove yourself. Blood in, blood out.
If you want to be on Team Lady Puncher, you got to.
Hank got a success.
All right. He's like, yeah, I'll take the lead here. You got my back?
I'll have you back, Private. Don't you?
All right. He's like, okay. This the door here? One here?
Are we at 8:30?
You can be if you want.
Yep.
All right. He sticks his ear. He sticks a finger to his lips and he like creeps up there and sticks his ear to it. You know, and he screws up his face. He's listening. He's like, he shakes his head. No.
All at the ready, right?
Nothing. Like low whisper to you guys.
All right, Hank's gonna take aim and like kind of nod. He's ready for him to.
We'll also give him the key to unlock it. In okay. case it's locked, like, you know, beckon him and give him the key to get in. The master key.
Okay.
Not the master key.
Do we have the key to...
The key to the door.
Yeah, we've got the key.
Surely Elmer gave us the key to 8:30.
Yeah, Elmer just gave you a key to the door as well, because he expects you to come. So he, he eases the key in really slow, real easy. Click, a bit loud of a clunk from the door. And he, like... He kind of grimaces at that and then like turns the key and removes it, and he just like sticks it like in his shirt pocket or something there. And he's got his grand up and one hand on the knob, the other hand like kind of holding the grand up into his shoulder. And he's looking at you guys. He's like, are we ready?
Hank nods.
Yep. Heart's like pounding.
Okay. So tell me, what is the plan here of what is about to happen when this door opens?
We kick him inside.
Hank, I'm assuming it's a similar layout.
Just kick his ass.
You guys pick him up by his collar and his belt and like throw him in like a
Benedict,
like a cartoon.
Fresh Prince
Benedict
style.
Would want to
like,
keep the door open.
He's throwing
basically
out jazz.
This is a recon thing for Benedict. Like, how dangerous is the room? What danger exists? And can we avoid it using the canary?
Okay. Is your plan for him to go in and clear the place and for you guys to go in with him? That's what I need to know.
I don't think
the plan is for him
to
go in
first
and clear the room.
Yeah, clear the room.
And we will stand.
And Hank will just I'm assuming it's some situation where there's like a hallway. You can see part of the master, or the, like where the twin beds would be, or how many beds there are, and then there's like one out of view from the main door where the bathroom is. Is that kind of like the layout?
That's been the layouts of the other rooms, like a typical hotel
room. So if it's like that, Hank's just gonna keep guard at the door for him to clear the entire apartment and try to keep watch on whatever he can from in the main room down the small hallway from the main entrance.
Benedict reiterates to the others, don't go in.
Alright. He twists the doorknob slowly, and then Private Lobolas puts a shoulder to the door and bang! Like, in. You can tell this is a guy who is expecting there to be a gunfight on the other side of this door. He does so, the shoulder goes down, blam, the door, like, swings open. I need everyone to make me a dexterity check real quick.
Oh, okay.
Let me rephrase that. Who's closest to the door, do we think, besides Private Lobolas?
Hank.
Okay, Hank, make a dexterity check. Just Hank.
Over 71 over 70.
Hank, the door slams and begins to rebound back, and you stick out a hand to stop it. Private Lobolas goes out of view, and you hear one quick gasp as you push the door back open. And Private Lobolus is nowhere to be seen.
God damn.
I'm gonna roll something here. Give me one moment.
So he shouldered through the door and it like rebounded?
It like closed really fast and then
and he gasped.
I push it open again.
We don't see what happened to him.
And okay. No one's there.
You don't see what happens.
Hank's like, Private, Private.
You, from the bathroom, you hear the sound of splashing.
Hank's just not gonna let a man die.
Hank would not do that.
Bold, very bold, Hank.
Well, Benedict's playing how Benedict... I mean, Hank would just not...
Yeah, yeah.
This was already a stretch for him to make this dude go
makes
first.
Makes total sense. Gotta do it.
Yeah, he feels responsible for him.
Play the character.
He's the one that persuaded him, too.
So we stack up.
Cover me.
We stack
Hank
up to try and cover him.
With his M4.
While he goes in.
And Benji... when Hank goes in, Benji will put his foot in the door so it can't pull that bullshit again.
Fair. Hank, you step in. Hank, you step in and are immediately surprised to find yourself wet and cool. You look down at your hands and your rifle is gone.
What do we see?
You are wearing a... Hold on. You are wearing a black suit. You are surrounded by people wearing black. There is a priest standing at the head of a hole in the ground. Not a lot of people here, and you don't really know them. You know one of them. You know one of the people. You know Benedict. And the priest says, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust, you know, he's talking about. And you look at the headstone of Benjamin Potts.
Fuck.
It's raining. It's dreary. You're upstate somewhere. So upstate in New York. You can tell. You know you are. Of course you know. You drove here after all. What do you do?
Oh, fuck. Okay. Well, Hank, like, stumbles and kind of aggressively pushes people aside and, like, just, like, looks, try to look down the hole. What's in the hole?
A casket. And people are... Or like, even Benedict kind of steps forward, kind of pulls you back, like, get a hold of yourself. Like, he's like, you know, Benedict knows how much Benji meant to you and all the things you guys went through back in
1995. He's like, Benedict, what happened? Where are we? What year is it?
Benedict looks at you kind of odd. You know, he's like, he can tell you're disoriented. You know, ever since you started drinking, you get like this sometimes. And he kind of tries to kind of start pulling you aside. He's like, Hank, it's... It's 2005. It's okay. It's okay. You're safe.
Oh, it's not okay. This is not what happened. This is not real. And
Hank's
been through a lot. He's gonna make a sanity check and success.
19. A success?
Over 40, yeah.
And bear in mind, Benji would have told you before that when he dies, he wants a live band to play the Rolling Stones song Honky Tonk Woman at the ceremony.
This isn't so real. There's no honky tonk.
There's no honky tonk woman.
But what Hank's going to do is he's going to be like, do I get a one deduction? Or is it just no?
You lose one sanity. Okay. Hank, you suddenly realize that your M4 is in your hands, and you're pointing it at Benedict, whose hands are up in front of him in the rain. He's like, Hank, don't do this.
He throws the gun down, and he jumps in the hole and tries to open the casket.
All right. Mm. You open the casket, and as you open it, you open the bathroom into room 830. And you see Private Lobolus is, like, face down in a full bathtub. Like,
oh, fuck.
Like maybe drowning?
Hank
his
tries
rifle
to go in there.
Is on the ground.
He's not even thinking. He tries to run in there and pull him out.
You run in there, you grab him by his back, and you pull him out, and he's like, and he is looking all around, and he's like grabbing at you. You other two saw Hank run in, and for just a moment, it was as if he flashed out of existence. Just pop! Like he was gone. And then he materializes directly right in front of the bathroom door, flings it open, and goes in to take Private Lobolus out of the bathtub. Why don't you two go ahead and roll me a sanity check as well?
Sure.
Success for Benedict.
Failure for Benji.
Benji, take one sanity damage.
Roger.
Hank
is kind of like, you know, shaking him. He's like, get it together, Private. Get it together.
He is. He's like, oh, I was. Oh, no. And he looks around. He's like, no. I got out. No. I got out. No. You. No, not you. Oh, God. Like, and he's mortified. He starts weeping.
It's a trick, son. It's a trick. Give yourself together. He shoves the rifle to his chest, and Hank just like tries to crawl towards his M4 if he threw it down and get that like in his hands again.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just there on the floor. You, Private Lobolus, curls up in a ball and is just weeping. Hank, look around the room, and this is not a typical hotel room. Some other stuff going on here, but you feel within you, think the room is fixed.
Fixed? What do you mean? Oh, fixed, like we fixed it.
You think that whatever was going on here seems to have left.
Hank, like, runs back out to where he can see Benji and
Oh, they're right there.
Oh, they're in
what the hell are you doing, leopard crawling?
They're in the room. Door. Okay. Well, yeah, but he's just like, hold up, don't come in. And he just does like a search around the room.
Okay. Yeah. It is a
success.
A success. So immediately, and the other two guys can see this too. You can see that the room appears to be mostly normal. But there are a few things that stand out. All over the bed are about 7 or 8 bottles of all different kinds. Different shapes, sizes, colors, stoppers. Different styles. All laid out there very neatly, carefully. Almost like... They're special, like they're sanctified. They're laid there very carefully on the bed. And on the table, there is some type of weird... It kind of reminds you of a... Do you know what... I know
Yeah.
I know Dace knows. Do you guys know what a lathe is? Yeah, you know, like you use it to turn things. You put a piece of metal on it and use it to shape things, to cut away material. You see some type of weird looking machine, like some type of almost like a lathe, like there, and it has like a half completed bottle stuck in the mechanism. It looks like that this thing might make bottles. Might be some type of bottle making machine. And
that is weird, because that's not how bottles are made.
Yeah. Go on. Inside the if you look at this, everyone make an intelligence check for me real quick.
Success.
And what is that? Success. 8 under 75.
You two from the door, maybe you're, you know, Hank just kind of had this experience. Just no fun for him. You guys look at this thing and you recognize that the thing that is in the chuck of this machine, that's like, it's one of the cylinders of Patzu from the Dorchester. And even maybe as you're sitting here, maybe you hear like the sound of air, like, and from behind, like the painting behind the table kind of is pushed forward as a fresh canister of Patzu hits the table, coming through like a hidden pneumatic tube as it is delivered right onto this table into like a small bin.
That's what that scientist or that psychologist did when we were in the asylum.
Everyone roll an alertness for me, please.
You remember he took some Patzu from one of the people staying there and then dropped it down a
hole. 255 for Benedict.
Right.
6.
That's 3 for me. Under 35 for Benji. Successes all around.
Yeah. The machine, a small arm, almost like a, what do you call it, like a claw machine? Like almost like a small claw machine arm, kind of extends from the machine over the bin, picks up the canister, and brings it over to the machine where it seems to be fed into some type of grinder mechanism, which seems to power the thing to life in some way. And it begins to spin as shards of glass. And it's almost as if it's like almost like 3D printing this thing in some bizarre way. Like what Day said, that's not how you make bottles. That's not how you make glass bottles or metal bottles for that matter. That's not how you do it. It seems to almost be 3D printing them. And as it begins to whir and spin, and you guys are all taken aback.
There's no names on these bottles?
No, the ones on the table, none of them have any names on them.
Fellas, I don't know how to explain this, and I'm not even going to begin to say what I saw.
Meatball.
All I got to say with Meatball that's about meatball. What I saw. And for some reason I have this feeling like this, whatever me and the private did, we fixed this place.
Hank turns and says that to you two, still standing out there. And as he does, and Hank, you detect it too, you hear in your left ear a hollow wooden knocking sound, as from the corner of the room, lifted up onto its feet from a pile of purplish fabric, stands one of the marionettes. It rises to its feet. It's again, it's wearing this like kind of like long purple robes. This one has a different feel. This one's way more intricate than the other ones you've seen. More finished. More purposefully put together, you think. It has, again, these dark purple silk robes. It has velvet slippers even. And it has a mask, a very fine mask put over it, over its face. Not unlike the clown mask. Not the clown mask, but not unlike that. And around its neck, on a string, you see a silver corkscrew.
Okay.
And it rises to its feet as the machine comes to a stop, its bottle complete. What happens in this moment?
Who can see it? Is it just Hank?
Oh no, you all can see it. It's like behind Hank, like to his left in the corner. I can tell you what Private Lobolus does. He's going to weep.
Yeah. Hank.
It's as good a plan as any.
Is he close? Is Hank close? Close to
directly
the
in front of you.
Marionette.
Closer than you guys.
Yeah. Benji's just going to keep his distance from the marionette and see what it does. Gun trained on it.
Yeah, Hank's not going to try to interfere.
You see now that all over the ceiling are expertly hidden rails that this thing moves on. It moves slowly, pantomiming this walking pattern, although you don't think it's actually relying on the floor to walk. You hear the slow whirring of the cables as it moves forward, and Hank, it actually navigates right around you. You know, like maybe you have to step back just a touch, and it seems to be aware of you. It's just paying you no mind. It moves over to the table, to the machine, and it extends a hand and flips up a little lever, which, as the machine stops whirring, it seems to release the bottle, and then takes the bottle in its hands. It then, holding it, cradling it even, like it's fragile and precious, it then raises its head, its masked face, turns towards the door, and begins to head out.
And there's no label on the bottle.
No. Well, no, this one would have a label on it, wouldn't it? This one would have a label on it because it's complete.
Is it Jesus Christ Lens?
It's not. It's not that one. That being said... I'm trying to think here.
Fellas, I'm scared to even say this borderline meatball territory, but do you all remember when we were in that institute? Psychiatrist dropped, or whatever he was, dropped some of this Patsu down a shaft.
Yeah.
I reckon this is where it went.
What, y'all think we should get that bottle?
We should see where that thing's going.
What are we thinking bottle-wise?
I wouldn't want to touch one of those.
People.
Just tail it.
That was my other suggestion, as people seem to like these bottles. We could take one and maybe use it as a bargaining tool for something.
We take them all and follow this thing.
Are the other bottles filled?
No.
It's just a bottle.
Okay.
Was the bottle that we threw down the shaft filled?
Just a bottle. No, that one was open and empty.
Take the bottles.
Wait, so the complete bottle was empty?
Yes. Or even maybe as the mannequin picks it up, it takes that cork-like device, that corkscrew-like device, and then and puts a cork down in it, you know, or maybe it picks up
this
another mechanism
really
and clamps
weird,
it closed.
Weird and out there, but what if an incomplete bottle is a filled container of this Patsu, and whatever this doctor is doing was pulling Patsu out of these people, but it was actually draining from these bottles until it's empty, and then it's complete once all the Patsu's out of your bottle.
We've seen bottles before.
Only
have they
the
ever
one
been
from
filled?
The clown.
No. You found Victor. You found Victor. You found Victor Carell's bottle.
So once they're like complete, they're like empty of this Patsu.
They're empty.
It is.
So,
but until then, they're not like complete.
The Patsu is the thing that activated the lathe. Is it burned up in the production of the bottle?
Mm.
Is it somehow infused in the bottle?
So I think
head.
We should grab the bottles.
Is there any kind of... this is... you want to grab... I don't...
Or we come back with them. How fast is this mannequin going out, Joe? Like, we're sitting here having a debate, but do we need to freeze frame back into the moment?
I would say that... Yeah, this moment is like freeze frame as you guys are having this like out of... I guess my question for you is as characters, like, this thing is moving and doesn't seem to be taking much notice of you.
Let's try to follow it.
All right, let's do it.
And Hank's going to make like a strength check to see if he can pull the private up. Kind of like shovel him along.
That's actually a good call.
Success.
Okay, you were able to strong arm Private Lobolus, who is still beside himself. You were able to pull him up, and he's talking about being home. He's talking about Martha and all of this stuff. Like, he is very unhappy. But you guys are able to. You're able to pick him up and make him come with you.
Can I roll a dex to try and get all the bottles that I can? Yeah, before we head out.
Try to grab them?
Yeah. The ones.
I would say that the bottle... You're talking about the bottles in the bed.
Yeah.
So the bottles on the bed are unlabeled and uncorked. The bottle that this mannequin picked up, the machine itself or the mannequin... have sealed it up, and it seems to have a name on it. So this one is distinctly different than the ones on the bed.
And can we make out the name?
Roll me an alertness.
Okay.
Benedict Failure.
Fumble.
Ooh.
Heck.
Is Hank going to give us one too?
Oh.
Sorry. See if you can catch
success.
This.
No.
What was Jeremy's
he
last name?
He didn't have one, and I would not have known it. Benedict would have thought
that
he was just a one-line moniker, that he was just Jeremy, like Prince.
He was just Jeremy. It'll be like... Let's say his last name's like Spencer or something. Maybe you vaguely remember that. Hank, you see the name Jeremy Spencer on the bottle.
Holy shit. Benedict.
I don't know a Jeremy
Spencer. Jeremy's bottle.
This thing begins to glide down the hallway.
Can we
and
just
you guys
like,
are
walk
gonna...
after it, or do we have to like do a brief?
No,
dog?
You gotta do like a little. You have to walk quickly to keep up with it. I would say because you hauled Private Lobolus up, this thing begins to make off and it heads straight for the stairwell and begins to descend. There's a point as you guys go down and down and down where there is like a second, kind of like a fire door that says staff only. The marionette reaches forward and opens the door. It doesn't appear to be locked. And you guys follow it through. It enters into a hallway that is very much not a hotel hallway. This is definitely like an under, you know, this is like an employee maintenance kind of hallway thing. Maybe even the distance you hear what sounds like the sound of a radio or like the people of living. Like it sounds like maybe there might be like, maybe the staff is down here, like taking their break or something like that. You smell the smell of laundry detergents and mixed with the smells of a kitchen, perhaps, as this thing begins to pull you through and into the belly of the hotel
brothel. I have a question.
And that, my friends...
It's important. Hank,
you son of a bitch,
destroyed the unnatural. Maybe.
Go.
Ooh.
Sanity recovery?
Sure.
Ah.
Nope.
Alrighty then. As you were.
Asked and answered.
Well,
asked
that's and my answered. Phrase.
Thank you.
Good effort, John. Good effort.
Thank you for trying.
Yeah. You guys find yourself now looking down the hallway. You have entered the basements of the Hotel Broad Albin. And, like, quickly pursuing the strange creature.
Progress.
God. Progress. And you only mind whammied one more NPC along the way.
Yeah, that's what they're
there
for.
I just have no idea.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I'm going to tell you.
Well done, Joe. That was fucking riveting.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now. I rolled a dice for old Lobolas.
Did not go well.
I rolled his own little sanity check. And, no, it went well, which is why he's still alive.
He just found himself somehow drowning in a tub. Rough.
Yeah. So yeah. Jeez. But guys, very nice. Thank I like that. I like that a lot.
Yeah,
that was
really good.
Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. It is always it's great that we have people who want to join us, quite frankly, who are part of this. We really, really appreciate it. I would like to extend again another welcome to Kelpie and Thomas. And I think I already thanked Heather, but I'll thank Heather again for coming anyway. We really appreciate you guys for joining us, for helping support us. It really, really helped us out. You know, you helped for us to host this because it ain't free. So thank you so very much. Guys, thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. That was a good one.
Yeah. And everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us again. Catch us next time. We will delve further. I think we're going to try to do another Impossible Landscapes next time. I don't think we have.
And I think I figured it out.
Missing anyone?
So we should be able to get to the end.
But yeah,
next time.
Yeah, because nice. John
cracked the code.
Because John's got it all figured out.
We should.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's about
time. We're ready.
We got the master key.
It's about time, John.
We got the key to the boss.
Well, now you need now you need the dungeon map. You have the boss key. Now you need the dungeon map and the compass.
God, I really wanted to fuck around with that lathe.
Well,
we know what room is.
Stop following this thing and go back and fuck with the lathe, and then you can do it. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you next time. And remember, stay safe and stay sane. Bye.